5. Poems. And poets, in my view, and I think the view of most people, do speak God's language. It's better, it's finer, it's language on a higher plane than ordinary people speak in their daily lives. Stephen King. Stephen King is a poet. Many creative artists work in all formats of their art. Stephen King is an example of a wide-ranging artist with a strong creative impetus to express himself in whatever form is required for the end result for which he strives. His creative library includes novels, short stories, novellas, nonfiction essays, screenplays, plays, and poems. This is a list of the handful of poems King has published over the years. It is followed by an insightful essay by King authority Dr. Michael Collings about what might be King's most important poem, The Dark Man. Poem title, Harrison State Park, 68. Published in Hubris. First published, Fall, 1968. Title, The Dark Man. Published in Hubris. First published, Fall, 1969. Title, Donovan's Brain. Published in Moth. First published, 1970. Title, Silence. Published in Moth. First published, 1970. Title, Brooklyn August. Published in IO. First published, 1971. Title, In the Key Chords of Dawn. Published in Onan. First published, 1971. Title, Untitled. Published in Onan. First published, Spring, 1971. Title, Untitled. Published in Contraband. First published October 31, 1971. Title, Woman with Child. Published in Contraband. First published October 31, 1971. Title, The Hard Case Speaks. Published in Contraband. First published December 1, 1971. Title, For Owen. Published in Skeleton Crew. First published June 1985. Title, Paranoid, A Chant. Published in Skeleton Crew. First published June 1985. Title, Dino. Published in the Salt Hill Journal. First published August 1994. Title, Mostly Old Men. Published in Tin House. First published in August 2009. Title, The Bone Church. Published in Playboy. First published November 2009. Title, Tommy. Published in Playboy. First published March 2010. The Dark Man. This is an excerpt from an original essay Dr. Collings wrote for my book, The Complete Stephen King Encyclopedia, titled The Radiating Pencils of His Bones, The Poetry of Stephen King. In this essay, The Dark Man, Dr. Collings discusses what might be Stephen King's most important poem, seeing as how it provided both a seminal character and seminal themes for much of his later work. I offer grateful appreciation to my friend for allowing me to reprint this exemplary analytical piece. The Dark Man by Dr. Michael Collings. More successful as an independent poem and more indicative of the directions King's imagination will follow, however, is The Dark Man, published in the spring 1969 issue of Hubris and the 1970 issue of Moth, also a publication of UMO, the University of Maine at Orono, with Burton Hatlin as his advisor. The differences between Harrison State Park 68 and The Dark Man are striking. The earlier poem is verbally and visually diffuse, lacks a clear focus in its elliptical and imagistic approach to violence, and echoes content through its explicit visual arrangement of seemingly unrelated stanzas. The later poem, on the other hand, is from first glance more tightly focused, with its lines and stanzas shaped into conventional format that is clearly a poem. It begins with a strong, almost stridently abrupt image. I have stridden the fuming way of sun-hammered tracks and smashed cinders. Subsequent stanzas repeat the initial syntactical structure, I have, I have, I have, using that repetition to create an undercurrent of rhythm and power. King's images are implicitly and explicitly violent, rough, often verging on the horrific, desperate houses with counterfeit chimneys, glaring swamps where musk reek rose to mix with the sex, smell of rotting cypress stumps, and I forced a girl in a field of wheat and left her sprawled with the virgin bread, a savage sacrifice. The poem concludes with a simple, understated assertion of the speaker's ultimate identity. I am a dark man. To King's later readers, of course, that phrase will resonate with meaning that far exceeds the confines of a single poem. The dark man is nearly as consistent a motif in King's fictions as the monstrous woman. One dark man, Roland, is the key figure in the Dark Tower cycle, while another, Randall Flagg, forms the evil center of The Strand and Eyes of the Dragon. More specifically, and more interestingly in terms of The Dark Man, as suggestive of King's later works, his initial description of Flagg in The Stand echoes the atmosphere and feeling, and at times, even the specific rhythms and vocabulary of the poem. In the five pages of chapter 17, King's paragraphs incessantly repeat similar syntactical openings. Randall Flagg, the dark man, strode south. He walked rapidly. He walked south. He moved on. He hammered along. He rocked along. The dark man walked and smiled. He strode on, and he stopped. Only in the final three paragraphs does King shift to another structural form, and the shift is significant because Flagg suddenly becomes aware that his time of transfiguration was at hand. He was going to be born for the second time. He becomes, as does the speaker of the final line of the poem, the archetypical dark man. In addition, the images in the sand echo those sketched in the poem. In a sequence that builds on the rape imagery of the final stanza of the poem, King writes of Flagg that the women he took to bed with him, even if they had reduced intercourse to something as casual as getting a snack from the refrigerator, accepted him with a stiffening of the body, a turning way of the countenance. Sometimes they accepted him with tears. They took him the way they might take a ram with golden eyes of a black dog, and when it was done, they were cold. So cold. It seemed impossible they could ever be warm again. Chapter 17. And as with the speaker of the poem, Randall Flagg's world is replete with violence and terror. He hammered along, arms swinging by his sides. He was known, well known, along the highways in hiding that are traveled by the poor and the mad, by the professional revolutionaries and by those who have been taught to hate so well that their hate shows on their faces like hair lips, and they are unwelcome, except by others like them, who welcome them to cheap rooms with slogans and posters on the walls, to basements where lengths of sawed-off pipe are held in padded vices while they are stuffed with high explosives, to back rooms where lunatic plans are laid, to kill a cabinet member, to kidnap the child of a visiting dignitary, or to break into a boardroom meeting of Standard Oil with grenades and machine guns and murder in the name of the people. Chapter 17. Even in the rhythms, alliterations, and periods of that final extended sentence, one can hear echoes of similar lines in The Dark Man, down to and including portions that virtually scan as iambic dactylic units. The poem is 42 lines long, divided into five stanzas of increasingly dark imagery that ultimately have required portions of five novels for King to explore more fully.